Well, we're in the book of Proverbs, if you'd like to turn there again. Last one of our focusing on the family for today, for this year. We might try it again next spring as well, next September. Let's see how we go. Probably just repeat the same messages, I guess. You know, by then we'll have forgotten them all and need another reminder. And so, how about we start with a word of prayer? That would be the best way to start. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you that we can come and worship you. And I pray that as we consider your word this morning, that your word will have its perfect place in our life and our minds. And that, Lord, it will be sharp, more powerful than any two-edged sword, and pierce to the very soul of our being, that, Father, we may be challenged and then, Lord, transformed through the renewing of our minds as we consider these things and, Lord, meditate upon them afterwards and seek to apply them to our lives as well. So I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. On the sporting field, there are what many people call makers and breakers. Things that if you continually do will have a significant effect on the outcome. In footy, sorry to use footy as an example, as those who watched the game yesterday will discover, if you continually kick behinds, that will have a great negative bearing on the outcome. You can't expect a win if you keep kicking behinds. But on the other hand, if you are that dead shot and you're able to get it through the middle posts and you continually kick goals, well, then you put yourself in a very good chance of winning. And that's what happened yesterday. And there are some things you need to regularly and consistently do if you want to enjoy success. And that's not just when it comes to the sporting field or business, but any area of life also. That also applies to the family as well. There are some things you can't continually and consistently do without it having a devastating effect on your family. They are family breakers. There are also certain things that you need to be doing consistently and regularly for you to be able to have a godly family and one that is glorifying to the Lord, and one that's enjoyable to live in as well. And they are family makers. And over the last couple of months, weeks, we've been looking at certain makers and breakers within the family where there are things that are specifically needed for each individual within the family. And we looked at fathers and how they need to regularly teach their children and correct their children and show their children the way to live. And if you do that consistently, that can have a wonderful effect on your children. Also looked at husbands and how they are to rejoice with the wife of their youth, and he is to let his fountain be blessed. Make sure that you have a happy wife by doing special things for her. I've been working on that. You know, I can attest to that. In fact, I did something for my wife a couple of days ago, and Alicia said to me, "Is everything okay?" I go, "What? Are you going to die?" I go, "No." She says, "You're just doing things that are different." So she thought I was going to die, but I said, "As far as I know, I'm not dying, all right?" But you need to do those things, and it can have a wonderful effect on your relationship. Also, husbands are also not to commit adultery and not to go to any other fountain. That is a family breaker. And that will destroy a family. Also looked at women specifically, and we saw how you're not to be contentious, you're not to be nagging, you're not to be a strange woman. These are family breakers. But on the other hand, you are to be gracious and prudent and virtuous. These are family makers. Then we looked at the children specifically and how they are to listen to instruction and have wise friends. These are family makers. Where family breakers are when children are rebellious or lazy or have wrong friends. And so these are some of the makers and breakers for the family that are for certain individuals But what I want us to do today is look at some makers and breakers that we all have responsibilities for. It's just not for the fathers or the mothers or the children, but this is for every single person within a family. We all need to be doing these. And I want us to concentrate specifically on our communication, and that is how we speak to one another. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18, if you'd like to look at that verse, we have this. Verse 18 of chapter 12 says, "There is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." And we see here that our words have the ability to hurt somebody or to help somebody. And there's no denying that the way that we speak to one another has a major effect on a family. There are times when our words can pierce like the sharpest sword and pierce down to the very soul of someone and cause a lot of pain. And these types of words are family breakers. They destroy a family. You can't speak like this to one another for very long before it starts affecting the family. When mum and dad speak like this, when brothers and sisters speak like this to one another, when parents speak like this to the children and vice versa, it won't be very long until you have a very unhappy, miserable home with a lot of people full of bitterness and resentment. It starts to be a very awful place to live in. And so there are things that we can say that pierce like a sword that break a family. While on the other hand, there's no denying that there are words that can help a family and encourage a family and bring health to a family. And if we consistently speak like this, well, then we can make our families the way they ought to be. And so what I'm going to do this morning is, first of all, we're going to spend most of the time looking at some family breakers in relation to our conversations to one another, and then briefly just look at two family makers. And let's remember, if you're speaking like these things, these family breakers, understand that you are actively destroying your family. That's the best way to put it. You may not like to admit that, but that's what you're doing. You are actively, you're being involved in the pulling down and the destruction of your family if you speak like this. Doesn't matter if you're the father or the mother or the brother or sister or whatever it may be, these things don't help. These things don't help to bring a joyful, godly, pleasant home. Now, the first family breaker that I want us to look at is found in Proverbs 29, verse 20. And these are hasty words. Hasty words. Chapter 29, verse 20, it says, "Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than of him." There is more hope of a fool than him. When I was a teenager, my parents bought me a mug. And they said, "Alan, you're only to drink out of this cup from now on." And on the mug, there was this big writing. And it said, "Make sure your brain is in gear before putting mouth into action." And that's because I had, and I still do have a problem, but not as bad, praise God. But I have a problem of speaking before thinking. And that caused a lot of turmoil in the house. I upset my sister consistently because of that. And I upset my parents, particularly my mother, because of that as well. Because I would just think of something and then say it, speak without thinking. And it was only once it came out that I generally realized that it was either hurtful or very inappropriate what I was saying. It just wasn't the right place to say it. And so they thought that this mug might help. While I'm drinking something, I might have that little reminder. Make sure your brain is in gear before putting mouth into action. Scary thing is, we learn from Proverbs, is someone who speaks before they think is even more stupid than a fool, we see here. Even a fool won't get himself into as much trouble and won't cause as much pain as somebody who is hasty in their words. Over in chapter 29, verse 11, back there in verse 11, it says, "A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it till afterwards. And so it's the fool that just dribbles out everything that's in his mind. It's the wise one that keeps it all in and makes sure it's appropriate before they say something. Now, it's true, we ought to have good thoughts and decent thoughts and wise thoughts all the time, so it shouldn't matter if we just say what we think. But we know that's not the reality, is it? And if you find yourself at home that you are quick to criticise, quick to point out faults, quick to make fun of people, what you think of something and then you just say it without any thought whatsoever, understand these aren't even the words of a fool, it is something even worse. And they are destroying your family. Now, the good thing is, Proverbs also has the solution for someone who is hasty in their words. There are two wonderful verses in Proverbs that help. One is in chapter 13, verse 3, and it says this: "He that keepeth his mouth," that is somebody who guards his mouth, "keepeth his life. But he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction." And so we have the warning here. If you guard your mouth, you'll keep yourself from a lot of problems. But if you spill the beans and you just let everything else, you're going to cause a lot of devastation along the way, including devastation in your home. And so the first part of the solution is you need to guard your mouth. It says there, he that keepeth or guardeth his mouth keeps himself from a lot of problems. I know that once I got that right spirit where I wanted to get on top of this, I was probably about 18, 19. I wasn't living at home at that stage, but still the problem wherever I went. I would go to church consciously saying to myself, "Do not open your mouth." All right, seriously. I would go and I would say that in my head. I would guard my mouth and I would say, "Make sure you think before you speak. Think before you speak. Don't say anything." And I would make sure when I'm talking to someone, I'd be thinking. I was slowed down a lot, admittedly. I'd make sure that what I was saying was appropriate. I had to retrain my brain so that everything that didn't come into my mind just didn't spill out. I knew that once the floodgates were let loose, there were going to be a lot of terrible things that shouldn't have been said. I'm not saying dirty things, just mean things or unkind things or just things that shouldn't be said at that time. And so that's how I did it. The first step is that you guard your mouth. You put a stop to all the words. And then another wonderful verse is in chapter 16, verse 23, where it says this: "The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and addeth learning to his lips." A wise person teaches his mouth what to say. Don't just sit back and say, "Well, this is the way I am. I can't help it." Basically, what you're saying is, "I am a fool and I can't help it." Now, God says we are to teach ourselves to be wise, and that is through teaching our mouth what to say. And so we need to learn what we say, or we need to find out when we say things that are hurtful. And, you know, that takes a bit of humility. You know, what you actually need to do is you need to sit down with your spouse or your children or your parents or wherever you fit and ask them, "What are the things that I say that hurt you?" Now, you won't like hearing it. But that's what you need to do. You need to find out what you're actually saying to your brother or sister or spouse or children that actually hurt them, so that you can then start to train your mouth not to say those things. Now you're aware of the problem. Now you're aware of what's causing the offense. Then you need to start teaching yourself what not to say. Add learning to your lips, as it says here. Teach yourself what to say. As we read in chapter 21, verse 23, "Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles." You want to keep yourself from causing troubles in the home, stirring up people, hurting people, offending people? Well, then start keeping your mouth. That's where it all starts. And so that's the first thing. Hasty words are a scary thing. for those who say what they think. Now, the next one is very similar, but just with a little bit of a twist, and it's found in chapter 15, verse 1. And I've called this harsh answers, but they can probably fit both in the same category. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, "A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous or hurtful or nasty," that's basically what it means, "but grievous words stir up anger." And so we have the two. Soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words or nasty answers, they are just going to stir up trouble. You know, one thing I love about my house is the heating system. Now, I've never had something like this before until I moved to Bendigo. Like, you get this little dial, and you can, if you want it hotter, you can turn it up. It's amazing. You want the house warm? I'm normally turning it hotter, but if you want it cooler, you can turn it down. And it doesn't matter what the climate is outside, you can control the temperature on the inside. That's an amazing little device there. I love it. The reality is, though, we can have that same effect in our homes. We may not be able to control the climate at work or even in a church circumstance or wherever we may go, but we can control the climate within our home, not just our house, but in our home. And often it's controlled simply by what we say and how we say it and how we respond to people. If we want things to heat up in the home, we want people to start getting angry, well, just the tone of your voice can change everything. The way that you respond to an answer, the way that you speak to people can have all the effect that's needed. It's just like getting your hand on that dial and turning it up or turning it down. And isn't it true? The way that we answer someone can make all the difference. You know, when you get asked a question, you can respond by saying, "What?" or "What?" Very easy, just the same word, but how you say it. Or when you get asked to do something, you can say, "I'm too busy," or "Sorry, I'm too busy." Just the tone is enough. And I could go on with a list of those things. I think we all know them. The tone, the way that we respond, can make all the difference. Now, the problem we have is, and it's the same with the heating system at home, and I discovered here also at this church, is some like turning it up hot, and then others come along and turn it back down, all right? And then they turn it up, and then they turn it down. Everyone has, there's this conflict of what people want. I want it hot, I want it cold. And that happens in the home when it comes to the climate within. Some, unfortunately, for one reason or another, are very moody and they're angry and they're heating things up by the way that they're speaking. And that's when you need someone to come along with the desire to turn the temperature down. And we see here in Proverbs that generally the way you do that is with a soft answer. Now, if you don't want to turn it down, you want things to heat up, you respond with a grievous answer. And that's when things really heat up in the home. But this is the way that we are to respond. And so we need to be very careful the tone of our voice and the things we're saying and the way we're saying it, because God tells us very clearly here it has a big effect. Now, it's true. Sometimes you think that the tone that you're using and the words that you are using are fine, when reality is it isn't. And the way to best discover if the tone that you're using and the words that you are using are right or not is by the effect that it has on others. When you say something, if people get stirred up, if people seem to get angry, if you're hurting people by the way that you're saying something or the things that you're saying, it doesn't matter what you think on the inside, well then it needs to change. There's something wrong there. And so if you're serious about having a home that pleases the Lord, and if people say that the way you're saying things are not nice, well then don't deny it, just accept it. If people are saying, look, the things that you're saying really hurt me, don't say, oh, ridiculous, it doesn't hurt you, it's nothing really. No, accept what they're saying. You know, sometimes the way that we perceive we say something is very different to reality. You know, over the years I've discovered that I have the same problem with my face. You know, I can tell you that 95% of the time I am happy on the inside. And I am thinking nice things about people. But I have learned over the years that if I'm not smiling, I look angry. Or I look very serious, all right? I can't help that. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking nice thoughts about people. I haven't got one angry thought in my mind, but people think I'm angry with them because I'm not smiling. I go past Alicia. I keep on picking on Alicia, but she, I walk past her and she goes, what? I go, what? She goes, what was that look for? I go, there was no look here. It's all good on the inside. I don't know what's on the outside, but it's all good on the inside. I even had that on Friday night. The Finns took me out for dinner and I'm just sitting there, I'm just satisfied with my meal. And she goes, oh, what's up, Pastor Alan? You look angry. I'm not angry, I'm happy. You know, just nice and content. And so I realise that if I want to put people off, I've got to smile a lot. And so it's very hard to try and smile all the time, you know. And so I don't mean that. Now, on the inside, I'm thinking everything's fine. You know, even though I'm not smiling, I'm not angry and I don't think I look angry. But that's the perception. And I do think that some people have the same problem with their voice. They think that their tone is totally all right. They think that the things they're saying are pleasant and nice, but everyone else thinks they're being harsh and mean, and the way they're saying and coming across is just argumentative, and it stirs people up. And if people tell you that that's how you come across, wouldn't it be wise to accept it and seek the change? As we saw here, add learning to your lips, even when it comes to the tone of your voice. And so there are two family breakers: your tone, the way that you respond, and also spilling the beans and hasty. Another one's found in Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. Now this one, you just have to bear with me as we sort it out. It's very simple when you realise what is being said here. And it's a very common problem in homes, also in churches. It says in verse 18, as a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbour and saith, am not I in sport? Now, verse 9 is talking about a person who deceives his neighbour. The word deceive there means hurt. Hurt by betraying in one way or another. And so he hurts his neighbour, and then he says in response, it was just in sport. Sport meaning to laugh or to mock. And so this is what, if you would put it in modern day language today, it would be somebody who says something nasty to someone and then says, I'm just mucking around. That's the same thing. Now, we've all heard that, haven't we? I'm just mucking around. But we've hurt someone. And Proverbs says, this sort of person is like a madman who sets fire to something of his neighbour, or fires arrows at him, or gets some sort of instrument of war and tries to kill him. So Proverbs, the Lord tells us that this sort of person, this madman, is like the person that says hurtful things and then just says, I'm just joking. You see, if someone tries to burn my house down, or fires arrows at me, or gets a big sword and tries to stab me, and then just says, look, I'm just joking, it doesn't matter. It still has a bad effect on me. And so too with hurtful words. You see, if I went outside our church and burnt your car down, and while you're watching it all go up in flames, I'd come up and say, I was just joking. <You're right. laughs> It doesn't matter what I said, you're still left with a burnt car, true? If I grab one of Andrew's bows, and he's only got one bow, but plenty of arrows, a bow and some arrows, and I fire one into your chest, and you have this arrow sticking out of your chest, and I can't, I was only mucking around. That doesn't matter. You're still left with an arrow in your chest. And so too, just like that, this is what the proverb is meaning. If I say a hurtful word to you and then just say, I'm just mucking around, you're still left. That doesn't change anything because you're still left with the pain on the inside as well. And that's what the proverb is talking about. And I got to tell you, I nearly missed this one because I am guilty, guilty, guilty of this. My family will all tell you this. At home, I will say things in jest, but it's hurtful. And I'll say that I'm just mucking around. And I am. I'm just mucking around, but it doesn't change the effect that it has. And we need to realize if we, out of frustration, make a joke at someone, or for entertainment, or for a laugh, we make a joke of someone and it hurts them, those words are like the piercing of a sword and it hurts. And just like stabbing someone in the chest and saying, look, I'm mucking around, doesn't really matter. So too, if we pierce someone within their soul, the very depths of their soul with our words, just turning around and saying, look, I'm mucking around, that doesn't change anything either. Foolish jesting, cutting words, destroy families. And this is what we have to call a family breaker. If a family is consistently cutting each other down, if a family is consistently making jokes about one another to the extent that it is hurting them, well then you're never going to have a godly home. You're never going to have what God intended for a home because you can't willingly disobey God and then expect God's blessing upon the home as well. It just doesn't happen like that. Now, another word of encouragement is that if you are getting hurt by jokes by others, can I encourage you to tell them that it hurts? Because in our culture and the way that we speak, there are times that we do say things in jest and we just don't, and there is nothing, it's just a pleasant form of jesting, but sometimes we think it's a pleasant form of jesting, but we're actually hurting people and not realizing it. And people laugh it off, and so everyone thinks it's okay. You would be wise to tell that person that what they said did hurt, so that then they can start to teach their lips and their mouth understanding. And so they know that what they're doing is wrong. And so that's one I think we, most of us could probably take some serious note of, foolish jesting. Another one, a family breaker, and this is the last breaker, is found in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 13. And this is one that maybe we don't think of very much when it comes to the family. Chapter 11, verse 13, it says this, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Over in chapter 17, verse 9, it says, he that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. You know, often we think of gossiping as saying something negative or repeating some embarrassing or awful story about someone at church or maybe someone at work. And often we forget that our spouse and our children and our parents are people as well. And they get just as hurt by gossip, even or maybe even more so if it comes from the lips of someone within their family. Often we seem to exclude those in the form of gossiping. But we're told here in Proverbs 11:13, he that is of a faithful spirit. Do you have a faithful spirit? Well, it says, that person concealeth the matter. You know, the reality is my family know just about every fault that I have. They know every inconsistency. They know lots of the mistakes I've made. They know lots of the sins I commit as well. And just like your family know those things about you as well. And if we are ever to be faithful to someone, it should at least start within our own family. And now that doesn't mean that you put things under the carpet and you don't deal with sins and problems, but that doesn't mean you spread it around to everybody else as well. Those that are of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. And as it says there in Proverbs 17:9, he that repeateth a matter separateth very friends. And that goes to the friendship of a husband and wife, a friendship of a brother and sister, or parent and son as well. If you repeat a matter to others, well, then you can separate that friendship. One of the best ways to destroy that friendship with your wife is to repeat all the negative things about it to others. And wives, the same goes to you as well. And so that is another family breaker, and that is talebearers. And so there are a number of family breakers that we discover here that we cannot consistently be doing. You know, it's going to happen every now and then, a number of these things. That's not, you know, we can't avoid those things. But if you are regularly hasty in your words and you're regularly saying nasty words and responding in a nasty way and you're regularly saying unkind jokes and gossiping, well, then you will not have the type of home God wants you to have. These are family breakers. Now, there are family makers, and I'm going to, in 2 minutes, say both of them. First one is in chapter 12, verse 25, and it says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop. And isn't that true? When you're sad on the inside, you stoop, sometimes outwardly. But it says, but a good word maketh it glad. You know, a family maker is someone that sees someone stooping because of sadness and they go along and they have that word of encouragement and comfort just in that time of need. You see those birds, when one's injured, they all the others, they just seem to pick it to death. And I don't understand why they do that. But sadly, that's what happens in families at times. Someone's sad, take the opportunity to lay the boot in and say a little bit more and make them sadder. A family maker is someone that sees someone within their family stooping for one reason or another, and they go by with words of comfort and encouragement. They have a good word to say. That's what we should be consistently doing. Not saying nasty words, but saying these good words. And then over when it talks about the virtuous woman in chapter 31, verse 26, it says, she openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. And the key one there is, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. All wisdom comes from God. And the ultimate wisdom is God's word. And so, a family maker is one who speaks the word of God. Where the word of God is referred to, the word of God is used in reference to. We don't decide things on our own opinions, but we decide things based on the word of God. And when we say to someone in our home, shouldn't we be doing this or shouldn't we be doing that? It's from God's word. God says we should be doing this. And so our home is full of the word of God. That's where wisdom is found. That's a family maker. And so there's some makers as well that we can just consider where we have words of encouragement and we have words of God. As we said at the very beginning, in chapter 12, verse 18, there is that speaketh like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. What's your tongue like at home? Would people think of it as a sword? I couldn't think of the opposite to a sword, a band-aid. One that brings health, anyway. You know, when it comes to makers and breakers, you know, on the sporting arena, you'll have those within a team that everything they do seems to be negative. They detract from the final outcome, while there are others on that same team that they're just doing all the positive things. Some are full of makers and some are full of breakers. And sadly, that's what happens in the home sometimes as well, where some people are pursuing to do those things that are positive for the home by what they say and how they say it and the words of encouragement. And then you have others that are just continually being negative. Question is, are you someone that dishes out the family breakers or the family makers within your home? Oh, God wants us to be those that are a blessing to each other. And so our words have a very important part to play in our family. And I trust that we will take God's word and use it to encourage each other within the home. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. Lord, we know that we need to guard our mouth. Lord, in our dealings with each other here, dealings with each other at home. And that, Father, the words that we speak may glorify you. And I pray that you may enable us to do that. Give us the passion and desire to be diligent to teach ourselves these things that we ought to say and what we should not say. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.